We will continue this afternoon in our study of Galatians. And the assignment that I have been given comes from the first chapter of Galatians, verses 6 through 12. Now, Brian talked this morning about the gospel that Paul was preaching. He said that many were trying to revert back either into paganism, the Gentiles, or Judaism from the Jews. And that it was a problem because they were reverting back. So I realized that Galatians was written to those that were trying to revert back. But I believe that Galatians was also written to those that were trying to convert or to go into something else. I believe it also extends to us today. Denominations, those that are strong in the denominations, can usually tell you when their denomination started, and they can give you the point and the dates of origin. The Baptists know that they can go back to the 1500s in Britain and they can find where the Baptist religion began. The JWs can go back to the early 1900s and tell you when their prophets begin to build their religion. The Mormons can go back until the late 1800s and tell you when Prophet Smith received his revelation and began the Mormon faith, the Christian Scientists. And then the others can go back to the Reformation, and they can tell you when the Protestants began to remove themselves from Catholicism and the things of Catholicism. Galatians 1 is very plain. Galatians 1 is very straightforward. And Galatians 1 really gives an answer to the denominations that they cannot answer. I had some work done on my pickup here not long ago. A friend of mine in Ballinger, very, 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 very nice guy, very talented welder. He put a grill guard on my pickup and made me some racks. And when I got through and I paid him, I started to leave, and he said, "I'd like to share something with you." And he began to pull a little magazine out of his pocket, and I immediately realized and recognized it as a Watchtower, which is one of the publication of Jehovah's Witnesses. He said, "I want to share something with you out of my Watchtower." And I said, "That's fine." And so I reached in the back of the pickup and got my Bible, and I opened it to Galatians 1. But I said, "Before you start sharing to me from your Watchtower, I would like for you to read a few passages out of Galatians 1. And I said, "Start reading right there in Galatians 1, verse 6, and read down through the 12th verse, and then tell me what that says." And he read it, and he didn't have much to say. There was really nothing that he could say. And I said, "When you can explain that, and you can explain how Paul gave this religion and set it up some 2,000 years ago, and when you can explain to me how you've got a religion that's not but 100-something years old, and explain to me how you've got a religion that has some merit," I said, "I'll listen to you, and I'll read your Watchtower." But by his own admission, he said that the Jehovah's Witnesses were just 100 or so years old. I said, "Everything that you're telling me about your religion does not fit with Galatians 1. Let's go read Galatians 1, 6 through 12, and then we'll discuss a little bit about the words of Paul as he speaks to us. He says, I marvel, Paul says, "that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there may be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which you preach to me is not after men, not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Pretty plain and straightforward about the gospel. When it was created, the power that it has, and if your gospel that you're following is not 2,000 years old, you better look at it very, very closely. It could be a perversion. Let's go to the Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. When President Trump was elected, we had a new catchphrase that came into being, and it's something that Trump tweets about almost continually, and that is fake news. He's always tweeting fake news as opposed to the real news. And he's accused a lot of the news outlets, rightfully so, I think, of fake news, which means it's an opinion and there's no truth in the news. But there is, more importantly than the fake news in our world and in our country, there is the true news of the war that's going on between Satan and his servants and his followers and those of God. And the servants of Satan are doing everything that they can to distort God's will and to corrupt his people and to cause them to have a downfall. And it's nothing new, because this is exactly what was happening when Paul penned these words in Galatians 1. He begins in verse 6 and verse 7. And Paul, he was somewhat incredulous when he says, "I marvel." He said, "I marvel. It is amazing to me that you are so soon removed from the gospel that we taught you, that you have deserted the truths that we have just taught you for a doctrine, another of the same kind." And that's the way the words are translated. It's not another gospel, Paul goes on to say. It's not a parallel gospel that will save. He said there is only one gospel, and that is the gospel which we have given you. And he says, "I am marveled that you've turned from the gospel that we gave you that was true and honest and had the power to save, that was founded upon God, the gospel of Christ. You have so soon after we gave it to you, you have deserted this true gospel and you've gone after another gospel, which is not another gospel, but which is a perversion of the original." There is only one gospel. The apostles only gave one gospel. Everything else is not new. Everything else is simply a perversion of the original. He said there is not a multiplicity of gospels. They don't exist. There was one gospel given. And from the one original, we have thousands and thousands of doctrines that have crept into the world today. None of them are original. All of them are copies of the original, which tells us that not everyone that is preaching the gospel is teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just because you call something religion, and just because you call something good news, does not mean that the good news that they are teaching is really the good news of God. Gospel means good news. So when the apostles were teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is taught today in its truth and in its simplicity, we can say we are teaching the gospel, we are teaching the good news of Christ. But when people take the good news of the gospel of Christ and pervert it, corrupt it, and change it, they're not teaching good news anymore. They're teaching fake news. And this is something we need to be very aware of. Paul was very straightforward when he gets to the 8th and the 9th verse. He said, "If an angel from heaven or any man teach you any other gospel than that which we have taught you, said, let him be accursed." This means let him be doomed to destruction. Let him be condemned for the words that he is teaching. Very strong language that Paul is using here to make the correlation between the real gospel and the true gospel and the perverted gospel which people had corrupted in the name of religion. They took the truth of God and they changed it. And Paul had no patience for people that would do this. He did not hold hands with the false preachers and the false prophets. Now, we realize that maybe there were preachers out there that were more eloquent than Paul, maybe more eloquent than some of the other apostles. Maybe they had people that were more favorable toward. But Paul says, don't listen to the messenger, but listen to the message. The message is of utmost importance. It's not over teachers, it's not over personalities, but it is over truth and error. And Paul said, we've taught you the truth. Anything else is a perversion. And he said, even if any man or even a heavenly angel, if they come out and teach you some other gospel other than what we have taught you, let that man or that angel be accursed or condemned or doomed. Very, very strong words. And Paul was very sincere when he made this. Paul goes on in the 11th and the 12th verse of the first chapter to authenticate the gospel that he has taught you. He said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to you of me is not after man. Paul said, the gospel I've taught you, the gospel the apostles have taught you, the gospel that words that we have told you that were founded in the truths of Jesus Christ were from Jesus Christ himself. They were not false. They were not a perversion, but they were in fact directly from the risen Lord. They were not of human origin. It's frustrating to the Apostle Paul, I'm sure, or was frustrating to the Apostle Paul, that he was continually on the defense when he began to describe himself and begin to preach, because the first thing he had to do before he preached was to authenticate that he was in fact an apostle. 2 Corinthians 1 and 1, Ephesians 1 and 1, Colossians 1 and 1, 1 Timothy 1 and 1. Paul begins all of his writings with, I am Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, by the commandment of God, by the authority of God. And then in 1 Timothy 2 and 7, he says, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. And he said, I speak the truth in Christ, and I lie not. Paul was continually having to authenticate his apostleship and the authority that he had to preach. And he says, I'm not lying to you. I've not lied to you. I'm telling you the truth. I'm giving you the gospel exactly as Jesus gave it to me, exactly as it was given to him. And he said, anything other than the original I'm giving you is not new, but it is a perversion. I tell you the whole truth, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Paul says, I am not lying to you about this. There he is, and he goes on in verse 7. He said, there be some among you that trouble you, that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, this is an extremely dangerous thing. When we think of someone that would pervert the gospel, the true original gospel of Christ that the apostles gave, that someone would pervert and corrupt this gospel for the fact that people would defect from the true gospel for another of a different kind from the original, the gospel of Christ. This is the gospel, Paul said, that we gave you as a yardstick. This is the gospel you are to measure these false doctrines against so that you can determine if they are good or if they are bad. It's perversion. Of course, this is one of the tools that Satan uses. Satan's specialty is perversion, which means to take the truth and turn it around. To take the words of God and to make it sound the opposite, just like he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden, when he took the words of God and he said, God said this, but that's not what it means. It actually, in fact, means something else. It means the opposite. You will not die if you eat of this tree. You'll continue to live. You'll just be as smart as God. A perversion that changes the words of God. Satan's desire is to make God's words of no effect and to make them opposite. And of course, he's very subtle. He's very good at what he does, and so are his preachers. They camouflage it with enough of the truth that people read it and it looks good and it sounds good and feels good. There's enough camouflage to it that they don't realize without studying that they're looking at something that has been perverted. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 3, Paul spoke to the church at Corinth when he said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well hear with him. Bear with him. Paul says, we taught you the truth. And if someone comes up and teaches you another spirit, or another Savior, or another gospel, you need to realize what the original was. You need to have enough knowledge of the original that you will not be fooled by the perversion. Jesus came to give life. Satan came to steal, to kill, to pervert, and to destroy. And once we get an idea and realize the agenda of God as compared to the agenda of Satan in the world, it makes sense that Satan would pervert the truth. That is why he's called the father of lies. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, it says, in whom the god of this world, being Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. May God's words say the opposite. Take away the truths of God's word and pervert and corrupt it with the words that are not true. False religions have no power to save, because false religions are not built upon God. They are not founded upon God. God is not with the false religions, and that is the danger that a perverted gospel gives to the world. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if we are following a religion that does not include Jesus, or if we're following a religion that is an opposite to the teachings in that Jesus and the apostles gave, then we're following a religion that does not have saving power. And that's the danger of a perverted gospel. A perverted gospel has no liberating power. When Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and you shall make and the truth shall make you free, he's not talking about a perverted gospel which would be made of opinions of man and thoughts of man and the writings of man with no spiritual foundation. That's why he said in verses 8 and 9, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Man's gospels cannot save an individual soul. Man's gospels have no saving power. They can only condemn. So we think, well, this is a real problem. This was a real problem in the day of Paul, as Paul had said. He said, I can't believe that just as soon as we gave you the truth, someone else came forth and started perverting the truth, and you followed after them. You know, we have the same problem today, because there's thousands of religions in the world today, and every one of them are different, and every one of them teach different things, and every one of them have different aspects. But yet we know that there's still only one original gospel. And the same perversion that took place in the first century takes place today. When we pervert the original, we're creating something that is not true. So did it start in the first century? Did it start in the 21st century? Well, the Bible tells us it has started far, far, far beyond that. Jeremiah speaks in 23 and 21. He said, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. What's Jeremiah saying here? He's saying, we've got some people out here some prophets out here that's teaching things that I don't agree with. I didn't tell them to preach this. I didn't direct them to preach this. They're preaching something that is of their own mind and not something that they have been instructed. Jeremiah 27 and 15, it said, I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name. False prophets and false teachers have been with us since the very beginning of the world. They didn't start in the 21st century, and they didn't start in the first century when Paul wrote these words to the Galatians. That's one of the dangers that we have to deal with as Christians. That's why we have to understand what we're doing, is because there's a lot of people out there that call themselves godly and call themselves preachers and say that they were sent by God to preach and are preaching a gospel which is not a good gospel, a genuine gospel, which is a perversion. Matthew 7 and 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew also says in 24 and 11, many false prophets will arise, and they shall deceive many. Warnings given. Warnings given in the Old Testament in Jeremiah. Warnings given in Matthew. Warnings given by the Apostle Paul in Galatians throughout the world and throughout the Bible, old and new, God has issued warnings, strong warnings, about false prophets. It didn't just happen. It's been with us since creation. 1 John 4:1 said, Beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't believe everything you hear. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. False prophets are there. And false doctrines are there. And they're created for personal motives of humanity. And that's why these things are so very dangerous. That's why these perversions are so very dangerous. Because they're not teaching truth, but they're teaching for personal motives of the individual that has come up with it. Verse 10 and 12, he said, Do I seek, and this is a question that Paul is asking, Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul says, I'm not preaching the gospel of man. I'm not telling you something that man has originated. I'm not telling you something that man has created. He said, I'm telling you the words of Christ as they have been given to me. They are spiritual. They are divine. They are truth. And they are genuine. He said, I'm not out to please men. I am out to please God. And you ask the question. As you understand, you ask the question, why? Why would a preacher, why would a man, why would a teacher, why would anybody take the message of Christ and pervert it? Why would people stand before other people and lie to them about something that could actually destroy their souls? And there's a very good answer. It's personal motivation. It's a personal agenda that is not of God, but it's something that pleases, that it comes from an individual that is not interested in pleasing God. They are interested in pleasing themselves. They're more interested in making disciples to themselves than they are in making disciples to Christ, the disciples of God. In Acts 20 and 28, the Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. And then he continues. But this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Paul says, I know that when I'm gone, and I'm not here to correct and to protect, he says, I know that as soon as I leave, that people rise up out of the church, out of the body of Christ. Your own brothers and sisters are going to rise up and they're going to teach you things that are corrupt. They're going to teach you things that are perverse. They're going to teach you things that will benefit and profit them and draw you away from the truth. From within the church, Paul says, people will rise up. For personal gain, people that would rise up to enrich themselves, to make disciples to themselves, instead of disciples under Christ. So we ask, why? Why would anyone do this? Well, usually behind these human doctrines, you'll find the motive of financial gain. You know, there was another catchphrase that was created back in the Clinton administration that said, if you want to get to the truth of the matter, follow the money trail. Follow the money trail. When you see where the money is, when you see where the money is going, then you're going to be able to understand a whole lot of the problem. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 56 and 10. He said, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs that cannot bark. They sleep. They lie down. They love to slumber. Yea, but they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his quarter. Isaiah said, you've got people out there that they don't care about what they're doing. They have no loyalty to God. They are out for themselves. They're out to make for themselves what they can. They're greedy dogs, Isaiah says, that never have enough. So they're always trying to get more. They look to their own way, everyone for his own gain. The religious world today, as in the day of Paul, as in the day of Isaiah, as in the day of Jeremiah, is full of fake news. This would be the tweet that Trump would be sending out. Fake news. It is around us, it is about us, and the world is full of it. The only way to counteract fake news is to spread the truth. The true news. Keep preaching, keep learning, keep studying, and keep teaching the truth. Paul gave the admonition to Timothy. He said, study, Timothy, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Read, understand, dig into it, see what is true, see what is genuine, see what is of God, and follow that, and do not follow after the versions of men. Allow the holy words of God, the Bible, to guide you in all truths. Try the spirits. Try the spirits for truth. Do not be deceived about fraud. Don't trust in a human doctrine for salvation, because a human doctrine will not save. If a doctrine is not built upon God himself and upon the foundation of Christ, It will not save. It will simply condemn. And I guess finally we can understand and we must realize that if God didn't create it, it's counterfeit. Paul said, I simply cannot believe that just as soon as I gave it to you, somebody comes along and takes it away. I think it's a very interesting chapter. I do like Galatians 1. You can answer a whole lot of questions with Galatians 1 when these people come to you trying to talk to you about their doctrine if you'll just have them read verses 6 through 12, because there's no way to answer this. Paul makes it very, very plain. There's only one, and everything else is a perversion of it. Let's have a song of invitation.